Welcome to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Vlorn. Here is our producer and engineer, Mr. Stephen Chaldon.
Hello there, sir. Good day to you.
I should call you the hurricane. No, the earthquake chaser.
A couple of weeks ago, that was
funny. So I was like online after we had that little earthquake, you know, a couple of them. I remember going online and I went to like our paper here in New York, Newsday, and I clicked on this like, oh, earthquake hits Long Island where we are. And then there's Chaldon commenting on the video of it saying, oh, it was really bad.
Within 2 hours, I was on television.
You're like a meteorologist. It was really, you were very comforting. Thank you for comforting us.
I was glad I was able to offer you comfort in these trying times.
Kind of funny things. You know, like a few little like things happen, these like abnormal things, like the eclipse, right? Which was a big deal, I guess. And then we had the earthquake. And like people are saying, end of the world. They start thinking the bad stuff right away, you know? No. We're in this Easter season where everything is good news and everything is about the power of God working in this world. It's not about doomsday, you know? But things happen and these natural things happen. We got to kind of add it up and figure it out. And when you have like a spiritual life, it does kind of add up, right? So like, it's not like, oh, we got an earthquake because God wanted one. No, we got an earthquake because this is just the way this earth has been created and things shift and move around, you know?
That's what happens. Tectonic plates move and things happen, the earthquakes, and and we go on with it.
Yeah, we are able to move on. So we're talking about spirituality today and finding God in all things, good and bad, but also particularly in this Easter season, like being able to recognize God. You know, we've got 6 weeks of Easter, and that's what we're recognizing, the power of God in the midst of our prayer, in the midst of our own spiritual lives. I know for me, you know, it's hard to kind of keep the momentum going sometimes about Easter. Like Easter is really like, you know, 6 weeks long. It's a long season. And it's hard to say like every day is Easter. You know, like after Easter, we have 8 days. They call it the Octave Eight. Okay. And it's actually Easter Sunday every day for the 8 days. So like in the church, when we have Mass, it's Easter Sunday Mass every day. So it's kind of interesting. So like
even nice.
Yeah. So like it's too big a feast to fit into one day.
And like we were saying a couple of weeks ago with the food, Easter is too big of a feast to have a defined menu. That's why everybody has something different.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. So it's an interesting thing. Like it takes a while, you know, to kind of get this under control in a sense, the excitement of it. But I think that same thing happens with our spiritual lives. Like, you know, it's not like, okay, got that done. Now I can move on. It's not that really. It's more like a process. It's our whole life, right?
Yeah,
and it changes.
And it does. It changes from when you're a kid to a teenager to an adult, you know. And I'm always kind of mystified people who say, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. But you never hear somebody who's religious go, well, I'm religious, but I'm not spiritual.
No, and I don't think you can really separate yourself like that.
If you say you're spiritual, you're religious. Maybe you don't go to church or temple or whatnot, but, you know, and it's changed. And it grows with you, and hopefully it grows with you. And, you know, I've abandoned it here and there. You know, I've gotten bored or complacent, but then you always kind of come back.
I think there's something good about the process and staying in the process no matter what. I was lucky enough to be at a dinner the other night where this kind of came up. I was sitting next to the mayor of Waynescott, right? And he says to me, you know what I crave now? And he's an older guy, like he's 72, 73, he's, you know, like in our zone somewhere. And he says, you know, I crave like solitude. I crave being alone. Yeah. I get it. As I get older, the same thing. Spirituality is like an organism that's growing and changing in our lives. That's what we're looking at on Religion and Rock today. The gift of spirituality, how it moves through us. To start us off, this is Jackson Browne, Rock Me on the Water.
Oh, people, look around you. The signs are everywhere. You've left it for somebody other than you to be the one to care. Lost inside your houses, there's no time to find you now. While your walls are burning and your towers are turning, I'm gonna leave you here and try to get down to the sea somehow. Island men who have no idea where they will go, but they'll help you if they can. But everyone must have some thought that's gonna pull them through somehow. While the fires are raging hotter and hotter, sisters of the sun are gonna rock me on the water now.
It's Jackson Browne, Rock Me on the Water, to start us off. You know, it's interesting. That's also part of this. Like, we need to find places to connect spiritually with our God, right? So, of course, we have the church, and that's a place that would be obvious, a place where we go to church and we feel God's presence. We know we're in God's presence. There's something beautiful about that. But then for all of us, it sort of changes after that, right? Because some of us find God in the oddest places, like rock and roll music, like in the nature of this world and on the water or in the sky or walking the city streets. It's about discovering that place for you and being able to understand, like, well, this is where God is speaking to me, and I really feel that presence. You know, some people go to the opera and they cry like crazy. Some people go to a concert and they cry like crazy, very moved by God's presence. So it's all about finding that. And if we don't search for it, we'll never know it's there. So that's part of what you and I have to do. We're always looking for that places where we will find God and feel his gentle rocking in our life or his turmoil in our life, but challenging us all the time. So there's something about finding that place, the place to connect, that's a really important part of our lives. Hey, here's Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven.
Carry on, 'cause I know.
Clapton, Tears in Heaven. There are certainly times in our lives that all we can do is turn to God, right? All we can do, there's no place else to go but to God. And that's one of the questions I always have for people who don't believe, saying, well, what do you do when the bottom falls out? Like, what do you do when there's no hope at all? What do you do when you're lost? Well, we turn to God for that, you know? And I think to not have a God to turn to would be pretty tough, right? So here's a story. Eric Clapton's son dies. He has a terrible accident, falls out of a window of a high-rise apartment in Manhattan. His little toddler dies. What do you do? You know, you turn to God, right? You just say, how could this possibly happen? I need your help. I need you to help me to get up the next day. That kind of desperation, if you will, is okay. We shouldn't feel guilty about that. I think that's in our DNA almost, to turn to God when the bottom falls out, when life changes, when a relationship ends, when somebody dies. These are things where there are moments where, like, God is sort of waiting for us in the wings, saying, let me run to you and help you. Let me lift you up. And there's something important about that. I think of that every time I have a funeral mass, you know. Not everybody's going to church every day. Well, that doesn't matter. They're here now, and they're looking for God now. So can I help them to see God in the midst of that? Maybe inspire them to see God a little bit more in the everyday of their lives. That's a great spirituality and something that we need to do when difficulty really strikes in our lives. Here's Yes. This is called Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Move yourself. You always live your life. Never thinking of the future.
I think the human condition also has built into it loneliness sometimes, right? There are times in our lives when we really feel the loneliness of what life can sometimes bring, right? You feel like, gee, I don't really have the friends and the depth of friends I wish I had. I don't have the depth of family that I wish I had. So you say, what is there then? What do I have? Am I just alone on this planet? Am I alone? And I think the sense is to be able to move from loneliness to solitude, because that's a different feeling, right? Loneliness is a lousy feeling, and loneliness kind of pushes us into other stuff to try to take up the sad feeling. Solitude is like we're perfectly fine being alone. We're perfectly fine feeling alone in a sense, the solitude we have with God. There's something great about that. I think that's part of what we have to move toward. I was talking to somebody the other day about this thing, and I was saying, you know, as I got older in my life, solitude becomes something that's a great gift, and I love it, and I look for it, and I treasure it when I have it. There's something great about that being alone and being able to be alone with God and say, yeah, you know, I get this time to be with you and it matters to me. And even if it means I have some music playing in the background or whatever, that sense of solitude's a beautiful thing. So it moves from loneliness to solitude, and that has to be part of our prayer as well. Here's Billy Joel. This is River of Dreams.
Billy Joel, River of Dreams. I remember the first time I heard that song, I said, wow, this is a very spiritual song Billy wrote here. Now, I don't know if he recognized it as that right away, but it's interesting because he couples it with that song, Goodnight, My Angel, you know, Lullaby, Now It's Time for Me to Say Goodbye. Interesting thing, you know, recognize the story of life and even his latest song, right? Turn the Lights Back On. Interesting. All of this stuff is about these ultimate things, our dreams, the river of dreams that we all have in our lives. Dreaming is part of spirituality, right? It's about thinking about our life and saying, what direction am I going in? What's my dream? What's my dream come true? What's my, you know, gift that I could give to this world that changes it forever? We all dream, you know, and it's important to have dreams. People who don't have dreams are really one-dimensional people, right? We have depth. We have understanding. We have hurts and loves and laughter and tears, and all of that builds up into the dreams of our life. Most of the dreams I've had in my life, I would say just about all have come true. It's amazing. You know, this gift of being on the radio and TV and being able to be a priest and all these different things. Like, you know, when you dream it, you kind of get that gift from God that says, yeah, this is possible. You can do it. And that's the great gift of hope that you and I need to have with one another. Hey, you're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about spirituality today. I'm Monsignor Jim, and this is Steely Dan, Bodhisattva.
Thank you.
I'm reminded here of all the different forms of prayer that there are, and I want to just highlight two: contemplation and meditation. You know, meditation is an interesting thing, right? Because meditation, we're sort of thinking things through. We're meditating on the gospel passage for Sunday. We're meditating on the different mysteries of the rosary, right? Those are beautiful things. Contemplating is an interesting thing too, because it's sort of listening and versus speaking or thinking, right? Contemplation just is sort of putting ourselves in God's presence and saying, all right, speak to me. You know, let me know what I should be doing. Let me know where I belong. Give me some affirmation here. Not magical signs, but just give me a sense that I'm in the direction I'm supposed to be going in. Contemplation and meditation are important parts of our spiritual lives. And we can't just, you know, rattle off prayers and say, well, I pray. Yeah, that's true. But sometimes it's just about thinking. Sometimes it's just about being. And sometimes it's about experiencing things from like a firsthand view, to listen to a gospel story and put yourself in it and try to imagine, you know, well, who am I in this? Where do I fit into this? Those kinds of things help expand ourselves and expand our spirituality, which is important in our lives, that we maintain like an adult spirituality. We don't want to stop at like third grade or fifth grade, right? We want to continue to grow that part of our lives too, so that we're healthy and happy in a spiritual way, which is so important. Here's Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
a feeling I get when I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for leaving. In my thoughts I have seen rings of smoke through the trees, and the voices of those who stand looking. We'll be right back.
to heaven.
Clearly, rock and roll classic here today, right? Well, we are all building that stairway to heaven somehow, right? And I think I always said that as long as we've been playing this song, which has been forever, 35 years, there's something about it that always speaks about, to me, how you and I, in different ways, build that stairway to heaven. We build a life that has good deeds in it. We build a life that has commitment in it. We build a life that has faith and the exercise of that faith. Then we build a life that has prayer and love and mercy and forgiveness. Those are all the elements. Those are all of the things that are necessary to build that stairway. And you and I are on it, right? We're trying to get there, but we're trying to get there in different ways, too, because there's no particular one way. Say, well, here's what you have to do. You have to volunteer in a homeless shelter and read the Bible at 9 in the morning and then go to bed at 10. You're like, no, it's not that easy. You know, it's much more individualized, and God calls you and me in different ways. So we have to be able to be open to that and understand how God's working in our lives. And that builds that stairway to heaven. Here's Hart. Who will you run to?
Oh,
this is a good one, Heart, because it really kind of talks about what happens when things go wrong. What happens when things don't go the way we want them to go? When we're at the end of our rope, who do you run to? Now, that's the idea here, is that I think about the prodigal son. Remember that guy? He went out and spent all the money his father gave him. He took his inheritance and blew it. And he was coming back to just work on the farm with his dad, just to feed the pigs. That was it. He said, I'll eat the pig food and I'll be able to live. But instead, his father, when he ran back to him, his father was waiting for him, threw his arms around him, welcomed him back, no questions, had a party. Think about that. That's how God is with you and me. Who do you run to? You run to our God, who doesn't hold a grudge, who forgives us, who wants us to be with him and throws a party for us. That kind of love, that kind of divine forgiveness is what you and I are all about, to be able to recognize that. Because when we recognize that in our own lives, there's a little secret to this. You know what? We can actually do it in the lives of other people on this planet. So we can kind of divinely forgive other people, forgive and forget, and not quiz and not judge and not be wary. And that kind of forgiveness leads to a depth of spirituality that kind of changes things up a little bit, makes the world a better place. Here's Huey Lewis in the news, Heart and Soul. the two important components of a spiritual life, right? Heart and soul. So it's like mind, body, soul, spirit. They talk about that all the time. But there's something about that that's important. Like, it takes a commitment of the heart, right? It involves love. It involves passion to be involved with God, to be involved with faith. Those things are important. But it also takes, like, our innermost being. You know, just be in God's presence and say nothing. Just to recognize God. That kind of connects with the soul. Sometimes something happens to us and it connects very deeply for some reason. We don't even know why. I could tell you an example recently. I listened to the new Billy Joel song the very first time I listened to it. And I listened to it. It was just an audio recording of it. And I was sitting down and I just listened to the song and tears came to my eyes. It's interesting, right? I don't even know why, but tears came to my eyes. And it was like just the summation of a life, the summation of the story. And you just kind of felt it. You say, is it too late to turn the lights back on? You know, and God saying, no, it's never too late. Like, it's never, ever too late. That's that heart and soul, I think, part of you and me that we're called to go to and know about, because that's spiritually a lot of times where God lives in a beautiful way in you and me. Here's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's called Higher Ground.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Higher Ground. You know, it's an interesting thing that happens in our life sometimes. Sometimes, like, the higher ground gives us a better vantage point, right? We can see things better from higher ground. I can think of how many times I've been raised up in places I've been my whole life walking around, and all of a sudden you see things differently. I can tell you a story about that. St. Patrick's Cathedral. Now, I'm in St. Patrick's Cathedral, probably in New York City, probably, I don't know, once or twice a week. I don't look around a lot, but if I'm in the choir loft, you see everything from a different vantage point, and all of a sudden, you see the vastness. You see the bigness of it all. You see exactly some of the beauty you miss every day. That's the power of spirituality. It takes us a little higher and helps us to see things from a different vantage point. Sure, we walk around and we have to get gas and buy groceries and everything else. Yeah, but if you pray, you kind of go to a higher ground. You see things in a different level. You see people in a different level, and it kind of changes things. So I think we all need higher ground in our lives, and it's a tremendous help, really, in helping us to understand the confusion that's often a part of this world. Here's Pete Townsend. It's called Let My Love Open the Door. Love does really open doors, doesn't it? Love changes things. It changes perspectives. And I'm not even just talking about like romantic love. I'm just talking about being able to love other people, love friends, love our neighbors, love the people kind of this planet. And I'm not saying we're going around and we're handing out flowers to everybody. No, not necessarily. But if we have a better understanding of that, things really change. If we begin to see one another as kind of connected to one another, things begin to change. We're not enemies. Nope. We're on this planet to be together. And that is a very beautiful process of spirituality.
You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlaughan, and it's engineered and produced by a very spiritual guy, Stephen Chaldone. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.